Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Somebody scream in this place, y'all. I said, together we stand, divided we fall. Hey! Come on, church, get out the ball and sit together. Woo! Come on, come on, sit together. Together we stand, like a woman. Somebody scream in this place right now, come on. Make someone happy, make someone smile. Let's work together, make our lives worthwhile. Say together. Come on, come on, let's say together. Woo! You see, together we stand. Thinking, God, he looks like Brad Pitt. I know. I get it everywhere I go. I walk through airports. Brad, no. It's a cross I have to bear. You may be seated, everybody. Another thing I need to tell you, because I know what you're thinking. I don't work out, you know. This is just natural.
I got some friends in South Africa, okay, pastors. And they're in the gym and everything, and they got muscles on their teeth. They're huge. So one of my friends was sitting on the front row, and his arms are like my waist. And I said to the congregation, I said, see, that is synthetic. This is organic. So there you go. Well, I'm so excited I could crush a grape. I really am. First time in C3 San Diego. Oh, yes. You have the sexiest pastors in the USA. I mean, they are so cool. They should be on the new series of Baywatch, I reckon. Starring roles. They're amazing. But Jürgen and Leanne are awesome people. You are blessed to have them. Give it up for the... Brilliant. Well, my name is Ray Bevan, and as you can see, I'm 33 years of age, and yeah, that went down like a lead balloon, but it's true. My granddaughter, let me tell you a story. My granddaughter, she's 8, and her name is Eva, and we are sitting out on the back porch talking about the problems in the Middle East and trying to sort it all out, and she was coming with her, and she said, Bumper, she said, how old are you? And this was 3 years ago. I said, I'm 65, Eva. She starts crying hysterical. I said, why are you crying? She says, Bumper, I don't want you to die, Bumper. And I'm thinking, is this kid prophesying here now? What's going on here? Because they do, don't they? I said, I'm not going to die. And she said, but Bumper, you'll be 100 soon. And everybody dies when they're 100. And then all of a sudden, this look came on her face like Elliot had when he saw E.T. for the first time. You know, that look of wonder. And I said, Eva, what's happening? She says, Bumper, I know what to do. I said, what are you going to do? She said, I'm going to make you 30. I said, I'm up for that. Let's go. I said, Eva, how are you going to do this? She said, oh, Bumper, you are stupid. Tinkerbell. I should have known, right? Tinkerbell. I said, well, how is Tinkerbell going to make me 30? Well, she said, last night the tooth fairy came and left some stuff for me, and Tinkerbell left some fairy dust for me. She said, I'm going to throw it over you, Bumper. I said, how much have you got? Have you got a lot of it? I said, throw it all on me then. Are you ready, Bumper? I said, I'm ready. So she threw this dust all over me. I'm still trying to get it off my clothes. And I went with it. I said, Eva, it's like electricity going through my body. What's happening, Eva? She said, Bumper, don't fight it. Don't fight it. Don't fight it, Bumper. Don't fight it, Bumper. Bumper, it's magic. And then I said, wow, what has just happened to me? She said, Bumper, you are now 30. And she went off to play with the dolls. Give it up for my granddaughter, who's 8, and the new 30-year-old Ray Bevan. And you know, the Holy Ghost, you know, he just enters like the normal day-to-day stuff to teach us the most amazing lessons. And he said, Ray, why can't you be like that with me? I said, what do you mean? Fairy dust? No, not the fairy dust. Why can't you? You see, unless you become like a little child, he said, you're never going to understand the wonderful things that I have for you. You see, my granddaughter lives in a world where wooden boys become real boys, and she believes it. Where pumpkins become golden carriages, and she believes it's real. And he said, Ray, your little granddaughter believes a fantasy world is real, and the world that I've called you to many it seems fantasy, but it's real. When are you going to start believing that I can do far above all that you can ask or even imagine? He said, when are you going, this is what he said to me, when are you going to enjoy this world of wonder? Have we lost our wonder? And I think the reason why we've lost our wonder, especially of the grace of God, is because we become too cluttered with life. Stuff happens. And we become cynical and we become disappointed and we become confused and we become too theological. And then Jesus turns up at times like this. I want you to imagine today, this is the first day that you've met Jesus. You haven't been hurt by anyone. The church hasn't let you down. You're not confused about the left armpit of the Antichrist and how it relates to today. You're not screwed up with all. Let's just imagine that we are a bunch of kids at the feet of Jesus, and he says, if you can believe, anything can happen. If you can just believe this. Come on, somebody say amen. If you can just believe it. God wants us to enter the world of wonder. But I just feel led in this service to go in a different direction. Is that okay with you? I'm not here to show you that I can preach good sermons. You know, I've been through all that. I've been around long enough to understand that God doesn't bless clever words. He's interested in right words in the Holy Spirit. And I want to go with this. And you are responsible because you're egging me on into going to you. It's your fault. It's your fault. If I bomb in this service, it's your fault. Don't blame me. But God says, I want you. There's a verse in the Bible somewhere. Check it out on your concordance. It's there. And it says, you are the God who does wonders. Signs and what's a wonder? I asked the Lord once, Lord, you're telling me that you're gonna help me enjoy this world of wonder. I mentioned it, but I'll say it again. See, this is a wonder. When God does far above all that you can ask or even imagine. And the human imagination is the most amazing thing. I mean, just check out some of the movies. I mean, Avatar. I mean, the imagination of the person that wrote that, that produced that. I mean, some of these sci-fi movies. I mean, Lord of the Rings. I mean, my God, the human imagination is amazing. But God says, I can do far above all that you can ask or imagine. Now, here's the rhema for this service. And it's your fault, not mine. Your fault, because you egged me on here. So, here's the rhema. Some of you have been in a situation. I'm basically prophesying here now, okay? Now, I don't normally do this like first time in a church. I want you to like me, and I want you to think I'm a great theological preacher. But to that, let's go for what God wants here. Let's go for what God wants. Are you up for that? I'm telling you, this is life-changing here. So some of you have been in a situation, okay? Believing for your family or healing in your body or a situation that's become very difficult. And you've been praying and you've been fasting and you've been praying. Now watch this. I don't know whether you're like me, but sometimes when you go to prayer, right, you start praying, God, sort out this situation. Now, in our imagination, we start to imagine how God's going to answer the prayer. Is anybody like me? You know, you're going through a situation and you're thinking, oh, you know, God will send an angel to my toilet and speak. No, don't ever ask God to send you an angel. You will go to the toilet. I'm telling you now. Have you ever realized whenever an angel turns up, they say, fear not. You know why? Anyway, so we imagine, don't we? And some of you have been praying about a difficult situation. Everybody say difficult situation. I mean, some of you, I know, because this is what the Holy Ghost is saying now. And you've been praying, you've gone to prayer, and you've imagined how Jesus is going to do it. Not even close. Now watch this. So Mary and Martha and Lazarus were tight with Jesus. You know, they were close. I mean, Jesus would go there for dinner. They'd chill out, watch some TV. They were really close. No, they didn't have TV in those days. For those of you thinking, that's not in the Bible. Anyway, so they were close. Lazarus, Mary, Martha, Jesus, tight. And so Jesus says, look, I'm just going off for a few days. I'm going to preach somewhere else. And so he goes off to preach. And in the meantime, Lazarus becomes sick. He gets tonsillitis or something. I don't know. Why are you asking me these questions? It doesn't say what was wrong with him. Let's had the flu. I don't know. Anyway, he was sick. Okay, can we just agree he was sick? It says, is that all right? So he's sick. So, and it's pretty bad. I mean, it's difficult. So Mary Martha says, no problem. We'll just send for Jesus. And in their mind, they imagined, you're way ahead. You know the Bible too well for preachers. You know what I'm saying? You spoiled the sermon. Anyway, so they think, yeah, we've seen Jesus do this before. He'll just lay hands on Lazarus, say, and up he'll get, and he'll be well. It'll be fantastic. So they sent Jesus an SMS. They said, hey, Jesus, Lazarus, the one that you love, is sick. See you tomorrow. Jesus received the SMS. And he said, oh, look, I've got an SMS from Mary and Martha here. Lazarus is in a bad way. So the disciples said, oh, come on, Jesus. Nah, we're going to chill. Don't let him be sick a bit. We're chilling here. So Mary and Martha know Jesus, okay? So Lazarus is getting worse. So they sent an email, two emails, right? In case they didn't get through. So Jesus gets the emails and he reads them. And the disciple says, hey, Jesus, it's your best friend. Now it's serious, Jesus. He's really sick. This is not a joke. This is not a flu now. This is serious. No, we just. So now Mary and Martha are beginning to think, I thought he was our friend. And the enemy has come to you. And Jesus has not turned up, has he? The way you imagined. Jesus hasn't turned up the way you thought it would work out. And on top of that, the devil is coming to you saying, I thought Jesus loved you. How come he's allowing you to go through this stuff? Where is he? Where is he? So Lazarus gets sicker and sicker and died. That's just my way of illustrating death. Some of you are thinking, oh, listen. So Lazarus snuffed it. So he's dead. Now, how many of you know it's got worse than difficult? Watch this. It's now gone from difficult. Watch this. So he dies. So Mary and Martha are crying. Like that. And Jesus is nowhere to be seen. What sort of friend is that? And you've gone through a situation, or you're going through a situation, and it was difficult, but now it's impossible. Watch this. I love it. So they put Lazarus in the tomb, rolled the stone in front. He was 4 days dead. Now, the Jews believe that on the fourth day, that's when the spirit actually left the body. So watch this. So Jesus did not turn up when it was difficult. He turned up when it was impossible. Come on now, watch this. I'm telling you, is there anybody listening to what I'm saying here? So what's gone from difficult to impossible? Because it was difficult for you. And you prayed and you said, oh God, and you fasted and you've imagined, and now it's got worse. And now it's gone from difficult to impossible, and the devil is saying, where's your God? I thought you said God loved you. So then on the fourth day, they're all grieving. A big, massive funeral. Ah! Everybody's crying. Lazarus is stinking in the tomb. He's gone. He's out of the picture. And then who turns up? Jesus turns up. And he just goes, hey, what's up? What's up? So Mary and Martha, Jesus! Jesus, chill out, girls.
How can we chill out? We are women. You made us like this. What are you talking about?
Is this too deep for you? Have I lost you now? What's up?
What's up?
Why didn't you turn up, Jesus? Why didn't you turn up? Why didn't you turn up when we asked you to? Mary, Martha, chill.
Try it, Jesus.
If you can believe. Now watch this. So why is it that sometimes Jesus doesn't turn up when it's difficult, but he chooses to turn up like right now for you that's in a situation that's impossible? Why? Watch this. Because Jesus does not want to meet your expectation. He wants to exceed it. Come on, you got to get this in here. That's why, unless you become like a child, you're not going to get this. Unless we become like children. Unless we believe that Pinocchio becomes a little human boy. Unless we get to that level of wonder and that level of trust and belief and childlike faith. Do you know what I believe? I honestly believe. I had not planned to say any of this. But I'm just a mouthpiece. And I know there's people in this building right now, and this is scratching where you're itching. If I had preached the other message that I've been preaching in the two services, you would have left without having your need met. Because he knows who's here. He knows that you are the 12 o'clockers. Come on. He knows that. He was here before you arrived. Something in your life has gone from difficult to impossible. And Jesus has turned up. He sent a little hobbit from the Shire to tell you, come on, to tell you, to tell you, he's heard your prayer. And he's not going to meet your expectation. He's not going to do it as you imagined. He's going to do something for you which is far above all that you can ask or even imagine. Anybody up for this? Is there anybody up for this? Come on. He didn't come to Mary and Martha. And he said, before I do this miracle for you, I want you to quote the first five books of the Bible off by heart. Come on, starting with Genesis. Come on. Before I do this miracle for you, I want to check, like, you've been behaving good. See, many of you think, well, the first thing we do, when God doesn't answer our prayer, do you know where we go? We go in. And the devil will say, it's something you've done. You are reaping what you have sowed. We walk around with a guilt thing, and then we fast some more and pray some more and we serve some more to try to earn our way back into God's favor. Jesus said, can you believe? Mary, Martha, can you believe? If you can believe, you will see something far above all that you can ask or imagine. And they said, with tears running down their face, with doubt screaming in their head, we believe. I love this. And then Jesus, he says, roll the stone away. Ooh, baby. You know what a wonder is? When God turns up and we say, He's not going there, is he? And God says, oh, yes, I am. Moses, raise your rod over the sea. You see, Moses imagined how God was going to sort it out. Probably, you know, Red Sea. He was stumped. The people were about to kill him. And Moses goes, I didn't ask for this job. Moses, stretch forth your rod over the sea. And I can imagine 2 million people sucking the oxygen out of the air, out of the atmosphere, saying, he's not going there, is he? And God says, oh, yes, I am. Come on. You see, grace, if you can understand grace, you don't understand grace. It's a wonder. It's undeserved. Grace dismisses the firing squad. Grace dismantles the gallows. Grace disarms the executioner. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And he loves you unconditionally. And he wants to do something. He wants to do something far above all that you can. Roll the stone away. They roll the stone away. I love it. And everybody stood on their rock and leaned forward, thinking, what is going on here? Lazarus, get out here. You know why Jesus called him by name? Because if he had said, dead person, every dead person within the sound of his voice, listen to this. It would be like a pre-trailer of Michael Jackson's Thriller. That's what it would be like. You know why? Because he said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. I am the resurrection and I am the life. If you can believe in me, give Jesus some praise. I'm preaching myself really happy here. Jesus. Lazarus! And out he comes, like Tutankhamun on speed. Out he comes. And all they could say was, wow, that's a wonder. And I believe with all of my heart, beloved ones, what is it, the question I'm asking, what is it in your life that's gone from difficult to impossible? And you're on the point of giving up. And you're at the point of wondering, does God even care anymore? Oh, yeah. He cares enough to send somebody like me from across, from another universe to tell you, I want to do far above all that you can ask or even imagine. But you have to become like a child. Isn't that wonderful? You have to become like a little child. Imagine this. So Jesus dies. And they take his body, but his spirit goes into hell. The Bible says he goes down into hell. I got this vivid imagination. Okay, so Jesus comes in to death. And the angel of death is looking after all the dead people that come in. So Jesus just comes in with another couple of thousand. And the devil rings up death on the first day. Six. I don't know, it's cheesy. Anyway, so he says, death, has he come in? And death says, what are you talking about, Big D? What's the deal? Who? Jesus of Nazareth. Has he come in? Well, yeah, I'm looking at him. He's come in with everybody else. We had 465 today. So what's your problem? I got my foot on his head. Just, what's your deal? Devil, just chill out. You've never rung me before. I mean, what are you talking about? Ever since Adam handed us the keys to the authority on the earth, come on, man. Can you, come on, devil, listen. Name me one person that's escaped this. No, I'm okay, just checking. Second day, the devil rings up death again. 666. Hello, death. Is this you again? What is up with you, man? Take some Valium, chill out, do something. Devil, what's your problem? I'm just checking because this Jesus of Nazareth said a few things which got me a bit nervous. Is he still there? Of course he's still here. I'm looking at him, dead, nothing, go back, enjoy the party. Click. On the third day, death had a phone call. Sorry, it wasn't death that had the phone call. On the third day, the devil had a phone call. And this time, it was death ringing the devil. And the devil picks up the phone and he says, "Death, why are you ringing me? Well, you know that Jesus of Nazareth, he's standing, he's looking at me. He's got up. He's up. He's standing in front of me, devil. Nothing like this has ever happened before. And he's got a funny look in his eye. And I can't work this out." And the devil screams down the phone, "Death, you better hold him. If you don't hold him, we've lost our hold on humanity. We can't put sickness on him. We can't put disease on him. We can't put depression on them. We can't control them with fear." Watch this. "Death, death. Death, death, listen, you, death, death, you've got to hold him. Death, you've got to hold him." But my Bible tells me death could not hold him. And Jesus rose from the dead. And he said, come on, somebody, give Jesus some praise in this house right here. Give him some praise. Watch this. I'm coming to a close. Have you enjoyed this today? It's a rhema from God. I had not planned to do this. But you are more important than my sermon. And it's a great sermon. Watch this. Do you think the devil imagined that? I want to tell you, if God can get his son out of hell, he can get you out of the hell that you are in right now. He can get you. He can get you. I don't know what hell you're in. I don't know what's gone from difficult to impossible. Well, it's like giving birth to a baby, isn't it? Well, I wouldn't know that, but I'm going to finish with this. I think for some of you, there's somebody in your family that you think is beyond redemption. A husband, a wife, a son, a daughter. I don't know, but some of you have been believing God to save. How many of you in this room are believing for a member of your family to know Jesus? Give us a wave. My God. Okay, now then. Watch this. And I know you've prayed. I know you've been putting texts up in the toilet. The wages of sin is death. Well, that's helped them with constipation, but not much else. And we've done all this. Come on. And we've tried. Isn't it the hardest thing to do? To try and win somebody in your family? Me and my brother were in the rock world together. And I got saved, and he carried on in the rock world, became huge in Canada. And he got hooked on cocaine and stuff, wrecked his life, and basically ended up singing covers in a whorehouse in Thailand. And I'd witnessed to him. And you know what it's like? Your family sometimes pray with you just to shut you up. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, okay, right, fine. And some of you are like that. I was like that with my brother. And I imagined how he would get saved. But God did something for me which was far above all I could ask or even imagine. And he's going to do the same for you. Watch this. So he's dying now in a hospital in Thailand. And I'm walking the streets of Phuket. And I knew that he only had a couple of weeks to live. And I wasn't sure if he was going to heaven. So this is what I prayed. I prayed this prayer, which you're going to pray before we leave. I said, "Lord, send my brother a laborer It came out of my mouth. And then I realized the scripture, pray the Lord of the harvest that he sends laborers into the harvest. I said, Lord, send my brother someone. I've done all I can. So I'm walking down the streets of Phuket and no one knows me. And a guy stops me. He said, are you Robbie's brother? I said, I am. Are you the pastor? I said, yeah. In fact, I'm a reverend. Okay, just check it. And he said, well, my name is Aaron. I'm from the States. And I've been living out in Phuket and doing stuff I'm ashamed of. I'm a backslidden Christian. And I'm a friend of your brother. So I said, why are you telling me this? He said, well, last night, I'm backslidden. I'm doing stuff here. I don't want to go into it, which I'm not proud of. But last night in my bedroom, a voice spoke to me. I haven't heard that voice for a while. I knew who it was. It was Jesus. And he said, go down to the hospital and lead Robbie to me. He said, Ray, I've never led anyone to Christ. I had to ring my pastor in America to find out how to do it. He told me how to do it. I went down to the hospital last night and I took your brother by the hand and I said, Robbie, if you can hear me, press my hand. And he pressed my hand. I led him through the sinner's prayer. He pressed my hand. He said, your brother gave his life to Jesus last night. Come on, somebody, say amen. Now give Jesus praise in this place. Watch, watch. Did I imagine that? You must be joking. But Jesus did for me something that's far above all that I can ask or imagine. Just stand with me right now. Have you received the word today? Come on, do you sense faith rising in your heart? You see, looking at your relative, looking at your family member, their life seems like Lazarus. They, as far as you're concerned, they're in a tomb stinking dead. Impossible. They've gone from difficult to impossible. Do you know what we're going to do? Like little children, we're going to say, Jesus, we believe, I believe you can do far above all that I can ask or imagine. You are going to send a laborer. And we are going to, this is what we're going to, pray a simple prayer together before we finish. And then you're going to call out their name. You don't have to say it out loud. You can say it in here. And you know what? We're going to let the angels do their work. You're going to stop worrying. You're going to stop fasting. You're going to stop begging. You're going to start thanking Jesus. Say, Lord, I know. I don't know how you're going to do this. You know what? You know what? If God did it right, God's going to do that. God's going to do this wonder for us. Nearly everybody in here put their hand up. You know, this church can double in a week if we become like children. Okay. Just raise your right hand like this to God. Close your eyes. Holy Spirit, thank you for leading me in this direction today. Lord, I believe that you've led me in this direction because there are people here that need you to do something far above all that you can ask or even imagine. Lord, as they raise their hands, they are now calling out the names of their family members, husbands, wives, children, aunties, grandparents, grandchildren. Lord, they are right now with their hands raised. This is what we are praying. Jesus, send a laborer. Send a laborer. Send a laborer to, and name them. Send a laborer to Caroline. Send a neighbor to David. Send a laborer to David. Lord, send a laborer. Lord, we believe, like little children, it's gone from difficult to impossible. But if you can get Lazarus out of that tomb, if you can get Jesus out of hell, then you can get my family member out of darkness into light. Father, in the name of Jesus, we trust you. We trust you and we thank you. And we leave it to you and we will go home rejoicing, knowing that you will do far above all that you can ask or even imagine. And somebody shouted to the Lord and said, amen, and give the Lord a big hand clap in this place.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.